This is the State of Things broadcasting from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stachow. When Stephanie Tyson graduated from college, she was anxious to leave her southern roots behind and start a new life in the north. She left North Carolina for New York with hopes of becoming an actress. But things didn't quite work out as she'd planned, and after a few years of wandering, she went to culinary school and spent time working in a number of restaurants. Eventually, her interest in cooking led her to reconnect with her southern roots and cook food that celebrated her southern heritage. She came back to the South for good, and in 2003, she and her partner, Vivianne Joyner, took the leap and opened their own restaurant in Winston-Salem. Stephanie's new book, Soul Food Odysseys, tells the story of her journey back to North Carolina and her attempt to document the food that her grandmother calls something to eat. Stephanie Tyson is the chef and co-owner of Sweet Potatoes Restaurant in Winston-Salem and joins us right here again on the State of Things. Good to have you back.
Good to be here.
So this new book of yours about your journey and understanding what we might call soul food. Talk about your whole relationship with that term and with the food itself.
Well, when we initially opened the restaurant, our intent was to open a restaurant that served southern food. And immediately, I guess because it were just two African-American women, they naturally assumed it was a soul food restaurant. And I kind of resented that because my thought of that was, you know, like two sides and meat going through a cafeteria line. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, it's not what we intended. And then I thought about, well, my grandmother who cooked for some of the families around town, and she also worked in one of the many black-owned restaurants in Winston-Salem at that time, and she did amazing things with very little. So it kind of came to me that, okay, that's not a bad thing, that you can make something from nothing and make it taste good.
Yeah.
So that was that pop. This isn't, you know, soul food, not so bad.
Well, this whole odyssey that you talk about in this new cookbook full of great recipes, and I'm going to try a couple out Thanksgiving. I'm told I shouldn't do that for the Thanksgiving meal.
Oh,
I'm
gonna no.
I'm going to try them out.
Try.
Because they're you can't miss with these. But it is an odyssey for you. I mean, you were, in a sense, running away from these roots and now came back to embrace them. Tell us that story.
You know, when you're, I guess, years ago, Winston-Salem wasn't the urban center as it is now. It was pretty staid, and I didn't fit in, so I really wanted to leave. So I went to East Carolina. Big mistake.
Whoopsie.
I helped them get that reputation of being a party school, so I pretty much wasted 2.5 years of my time and my parents' money going to that school. So I left, and I auditioned to go to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, and I was accepted there where I and a million other people were vying for the same jobs. And it just... their whole point of you go to these and they want you to kind of sound general American and they're trying to take away your whatever color you have in your voice or in your posture. And you want to be able to morph into different things. And so with trying to do that, you kind of like, I don't want to sound Southern. I don't want to do Southern things like be polite and stuff. So
easy enough to do in New York.
Yeah,
right?
It was. and once I started doing that and then realizing that, you know, this is not me.
Yeah.
So I'm in the subway and I'm running to something and this woman is getting mugged in front of me. And so I'm in a hurry. So I step over her like everyone else and keep going. So I get like maybe half a block and it's like, you know, that's not me. So I go back, but she's gone. So it occurred to me at that point that I've tried to change too much of what I am and what I grew up. Because I would never have done that, or nobody else from the South would have done that either. So at that point, I realized it was time to go.
So you did. You went to culinary school, right?
I did. I went to culinary school in Baltimore, and you know, it was out of because I was and I did what everybody does. You know, in a theater, you wait tables. So I was waiting tables, and I progressed to bartender and then manager. So my first night managing a pizza restaurant, and one of the cooks got ticked off and left. It's like, oh, what do I do? What right. do I do? Right. So because I was so intimidated by the kitchen, I actually decided to go to culinary school and found out that I actually really – really like cooking.
I think you were not very good at cooking or had no interest at
no,
all.
No, none yeah. whatsoever. When Vivian and I first got together, I probably burnt the majority of what I cooked. So it was a process of relaxing
yeah.
and accepting the knowledge and accepting the inherited, well, it skipped my mom. But my grandmother,
yeah.
accepting that knowledge and just realizing that your whole life you've hung out with her and you've okay. seen her do things, so just go with it.
I love this because, you know, you start out, the partying doesn't work. That's not who you are. Then you try out indifference, and that's not who you are. Now you're sort of letting yourself grow into your own life and soul. You start cooking, but not terribly happy with the kinds of restaurants and food that you're encountering.
No, I mean, it was the trend at that time when I first started was Mediterranean and that sort of food, and that's what I did. But I could never figure out, and sometimes I was fortunate enough to be in a position where I can kind of slide some things in that, you know, rather than use polenta, I might use grits, you know, so give it a little bit of flavor and to have that opportunity. So it was helpful. And so not to lose any knowledge. Right. So I kind of, even with all that, sort of put some of that into what we do at Sweet Potatoes.
So talk a little bit more about your – I think you've given us a preview and talked a bit about your grandmother and something to eat, mostly just making do with what you've got. When did you decide to sort of embrace that and start to learn what something to eat really meant?
Last year. no, it's been gradual. Because we've traveled around and we've gone to different places, and the best places to eat normally are the places that the regular person, you know, eats at. Not necessarily chains. There's nothing wrong with chains, but those other restaurants and those other types of food and basic things. Especially in the South, when invariably we all ate the same thing.
Right, right.
So that's the thing that Sweet Potatoes right. actually sort of embraces, that we right. all ate the same thing, and food is our commonality. Whereas whatever differences you have outside, right. when you come to the table, you share that. So in getting in, reconnecting with what I grew up in. My grandmother, there was always a pot on the stove. There was always fried chicken and a biscuit in the oven. There was never a time that you can come to her house and not get something to eat.
Yeah.
It was just always.
Always there.
Little or a lot, but there was always something that she always shared, even in her purse, where she always had fatback and a biscuit and some foil in wow. her purse, because, you know, back then yeah. we couldn't just stop anywhere to eat. So when you're yeah. traveling, you had to be self-sustaining.
Sure.
So she never got out of the habit, and we all knew that. So people would like to sit beside her because they knew they'd be fed.
Grandma, that's not lipstick, is it? Tell us about your partner, Vivian, and her role in this journey for you.
Vivian is... she is the face that you will see when you come to Sweet Potatoes. We have been together for nearly 30 years, and we wanted to open this restaurant together. She has a corporate background in restaurants, and she brings that sense of order. I'm more fly by the seat of my pants, mm-hmm. and so there has to be a balance of creativity and just being able to pay the bills. You know, yeah. You can't have that, you know, right now. We don't have that. So she is the balance of the restaurant, and in the face of the restaurant, really. When you come in, you'll see her because she's in the front of the house.
Well, talk about the business side of it, because when you opened, you talked about Winston is up and coming now, but not necessarily. It was at the very early stages of that process when you decided to open. Talk about the difficulty of opening a restaurant for you back
then. It was a challenge in that, one, we had no money at all.
That would be
and,
1 through 10, actually,
yeah,
in a lot of places.
So,
yeah.
So, and you don't necessarily, we found that you don't necessarily need money, just ingenuity and credit cards. but the city had a program that we didn't qualify for, the restaurant row program. It was matching funds, and we didn't really have that. So we went off of that restaurant row and applied for city money alone, and they turned us down at least 3 times, and publicly turned us down because it always made the paper when they turned us down. It's like, oh, those two women tried, you know. And so we finally ran into or met, or he discovered us. Philip Haynes was one of our bigger supporters, and he directed us to the right people. To get funding. And so we got the city loan eventually, but they were very, they weren't kind. It's like, maybe you're doing too much. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should start with something simple like a hot dog or hamburger stand, or you don't want to bother with alcohol right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should just start slow. And Vivian is very single-minded, when it comes to that. So if we can't do it our way, we're not going to do it at all. And with that kind of tenacity, we kind of made them listen to us. And if, you know, we had a solid business plan and there was no reason that we shouldn't succeed. And we, I think, got started mostly because of Vivian's tenacity.
Well, tell us about the recipes in this book, Soul Food Odyssey. They come with stories as well. And this is some of the, this is something to eat, right?
Yeah.
How did you decide on the recipes in this book?
There were so many. People like to talk. So
who'd you gather them from? Who'd you talk to?
Lots of people. Like my sous chef was really helpful in the chitlin thing because I had no clue. All I knew is that you don't eat anybody's chitlins. Everybody keeps saying that, so I understand why now. So it was just a different.
Whose chitlins do we eat?
People that you have to be careful because you have to clean them,
yeah,
and
oh,
you can, you know, chitlins are the intestines, so you don't want to just eat them.
you want them to be clean.
Yeah, you want them to be clean.
So you learned that. Talk to some people. What other kind of people did you talk to for them?
People that come into the restaurant like to talk about food.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a couple of different restaurants in Chapel Hill and Durham, and family, friends, just different people. And then what my whole experience of what I ate,
yeah,
or what I was curious about eating. I never actually made pig's feet until I started doing this book. And then I realized, gosh, I don't like them. You know, really don't like them. So I fry them. And so that was better, actually.
Yeah.
People don't think about frying pig's feet, but it kind of worked for me.
Oh,
if
I
you
think
fry
about
anything,
day and night.
I think that it works. You know, so it was a discovery of you know, knowing what people deemed soul food.
Do you bring a lot of new ideas, or do you try to sort of stick with what's tried and true and what your grandmother would have done, or try to innovate on those themes?
Some of both. I mean, sometimes fried chicken is fried chicken, and I kind of stick with the way I saw my grandmother fry chicken, which was with a piece of fat back in the oil when you fry it, minimal seasonings, as opposed to what I do at the restaurant, which is lots of seasoning, because I'm like a seasoning maverick. and sometimes it's just what it is. And then other times, I mean, you can kind of fool around. Like I did fool around a little bit with the chitlins by creating spaghetti with collard green pesto and fry and using sea loaf, if you know what that is, which you can buy. It's mostly Ma's, but you can buy it in the store. Mm. It's already cooked. So I sort of, kind of fool around with that, a little bit of frying chitlins and putting them on the salad.
Well, to find out more, you'll have to get Soul Food Odyssey, authored by my guest, Stephanie Tyson. Stephanie, what a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you so much.
Stephanie is co-owner and chef of the Winston-Salem restaurant Sweet Potatoes. Well, shut my mouth. And she's also the author of the new book, Soul Food Odyssey. Stephanie has book signings this Thursday at Literary Book Post in Salisbury at 6 o'clock and Saturday at Barnes & Noble in Winston-Salem at 4. And, of course, you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Molly McGinn and Dave Willis are going to play us out. The new band is called Wurlitzer Prize. They recently got a grant from the Winston-Salem Arts Council to produce their first record next year. You'll hear from them after I say The State of Things is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, Charlie Shelton, and Andrew Tai. Robin Copley is our technical director. Al Wadarski helping out today. Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio. Once again, Molly McGinn and Dave Willis.
Keys.